Coming up on this episode of Disneyland Weekly, no droids allowed in Tomorrowland, and a possible new ride system.
Christmas plans, even though Halloween isn't even over yet, and more. Disneyland Weekly starts now.
This is Disneyland Weekly.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Disneyland Weekly, episode 3 for the week of October 11th, 2017. I'm Teg Bushman.
And I'm Teresa Urban. Thank you for listening this week. If you enjoy the show, please log into iTunes and rate the show to leave a review. This really helps us get more listeners so we can keep bringing you Disneyland news and information each week. Now let's get to the news. This past week, Big Thunder Mountain was closed for some refurbishments. Fear not, you'll be able to see your favorite dynamite-chewing goat soon, as Disney shows the ride will be reopening on the 20th.
Oh, that dynamite-chewing goat. MySage reports that there have been some new signs appearing all over Tomorrowland. The No Droids and Documentation Checkpoint signs have been spotted on food carts, merchandise booths, and what appears to be random areas throughout Tomorrowland. We aren't sure why the signs are up. Perhaps it's a promo for the upcoming Star Wars film or the highly anticipated Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
Robert Niles over at Theme Park Insider reports that Disney has filed a patent for a new ride system that could come to Disneyland Resort. Speculation is that this could be a Spider-Man attraction, coming to the rumored Marvel Land expansion at Disney California Adventure.
Seems like it could be pretty cool. I don't know if you've, if anybody who's listening has seen it. If you go over to Theme Park Insider, there's some cool patent drawings for this. And one of the, somebody you were saying, Teresa, somebody said it looks like an inverted from Forbidden Journey for Harry Potter. To me, it doesn't quite look as articulated. It's more of like a...
Looks more like a pendulum.
Yeah, like a free-flowing pendulum. And you were saying earlier that you thought that the ride layout was kind of Indiana Jones-ish?
I don't know why. It reminds me of Indiana Jones just because the ride track kind of goes back and forth. And you could probably see parts of the ride as you're going through it. You know, parts you'd already gone through can look back on it. But it looks interesting. I think it would look fun. Some other people I saw were thinking maybe it'd be like a Tarzan ride because it might feel like you're kind of swinging on ropes through the jungle. Some other speculation was saying that it might be another Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
Yeah, I think somebody was saying that for Disney World that it might be a Guardians of the Galaxy, what's going to eventually go out there, but I'm not sure. I mean, it could be. I think more likely it looks very Spider-Man-y, which would go with the marble thing. I don't know why they would make a Tarzan ride. I don't think that's...
No, not real... in Disneyland, California.
I was going to say that's been kind of an irrelevant franchise, I think, for a while. I mean, you know, they've got the Tarzan's treehouse.
Treehouse, yep. Well, maybe if they did something more interesting, people would go on it.
I suppose. Well, I know many of you will not like to hear this, but we have some details on the quickly approaching Christmas season at the resort. The festivities begin on Friday, November 10th and wrap up on Sunday, January 7th.
Leading up to the start of the holidays, Mickey's Soundsational Parade will end its run for the year, and possibly longer, on Saturday, November 4th. Remember, Dreams Come True, the fireworks, ends on Sunday, November 5th.
A Christmas Fantasy Parade starts at 1 p.m. and 1:30 p.m. on Friday, November 10th. Fantasmic also returns that evening with two performances, followed by Believe in Holiday Magic, nightly at 9:30 p.m. This extends Fantasmic from Saturday and Sunday only showings to include Fridays throughout the holiday season.
Over at California Adventure, the holiday version of World of Color, titled Season of Light, returns on November 10th with two performances of 9 and 10:15 p.m. No parades or any other holiday entertainment has been scheduled for Disney California Adventure just yet.
As a reminder, if you're planning to have your Thanksgiving meal at the resort, make sure to make your reservations as soon as possible, as they do reach capacity early. Finally, the holiday time at the Disneyland Resort guided tour also begins on the 10th and is $85 per person with a 15% discount if you are an annual pass holder.
In sadder news, if you are visiting the resort in the next few days, you will likely experience poor air quality conditions and smoke-covered skies due to the Canyon Fire 2, which has already burned 6,000 acres of the Anaheim Hills, just a few short miles from the resort.
Yeah, there's been lots of pictures online of orange skies and some, you know, seems very Halloween-like, but... you know, I think 5,000 residents have been evacuated from the other area, so hopefully they get it under control soon.
It's hard to imagine how life could be any easier, but there's a new company, General Electric, they call it, who are trying to bring the same power that runs the trolley into folks' homes. I don't know, but if those fellas work that out, one thing is certain.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow shining at the end of every day. There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow.
This week, we're going to talk about some different things since we couldn't decide on one thing to talk about. We're going to start with the Disneyland Max Pass.
The Disneyland Max Pass is an add-on to your park ticket or annual pass that will allow you to use your smartphone to reserve FastPass tickets, similar to the FastPass Plus in Walt Disney World.
The major difference between the two is that in Disney World, it's complimentary and part of your theme park admission. In Disneyland, it's a $10 add-on per ticket per day, and a $75 one-time add-on for annual pass holders.
In addition to the FastPass Plus-like functionality, you also get unlimited access to PhotoPass downloads for the day. This includes character breakfasts, attraction photos, and regular PhotoPass photographers. Now, I did use the the FastPass Plus the last time I was in a Disney park, which was Disney World. It was convenient. I had a group of about eight that did it, so it was convenient. I liked it. I think, you know, the Max Pass sounds more interesting because it sounds like you can update the Max Pass more easily throughout the day, whereas with the Fast Pass Plus, it wasn't as easy to update during the day since you were only allowed three Fast Passes per day. So if you missed one of them, you're kind of out of luck.
Yeah, so I think that that's some of the misconceptions of Fast Pass Plus in Walt Disney World. So when I was there last June, the way the system works is you can reserve three fast passes per day before the day of to get you started. So I always recommend people get the fast passes in the morning, as close to the morning as you can for the stuff you really want to see. As soon as your third fast pass is used, you can get another one. So you can continue doing that as each fast pass expires and you use it, then you can use another one.
You can add on.
Yep. So at Disneyland, it does not do that. It is literally one off at a time kind of thing, is my understanding. The other thing that's a little interesting about it too is, unlike Disney World, where you do it through the app, which you also do at Disneyland, there's no magic bands, which I actually really like, because you just do it on your phone. Your watch is on your wrist. You know, your magic band is on your wrist like a watch. You walk up to the thing, you hold your watch to it, bam, you're in. With the Disneyland system, you're still doing it on your phone, but you have to pull out your park ticket or your annual pass and put it up to the scanner. And I just think that that's less convenient, because I know not having to keep track of where I have my theme park ticket or my annual pass is a lot more convenient than trying to, you know, reach for it all the time.
Right.
And whatever, it's on my wrist and I don't have to worry about it. You can pay for food and all that stuff. And I assume down the road that Disneyland will also implement mobile ordering for food locations. So you can order your food through your phone. And then you literally walk up to one of the counter sections. Mm-hmm. You show them your receipt or whatever. They hand you your food, so you don't have to wait in line.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, which, one good thing that I like about this, and I like about all of these custom order systems, no matter where you are, is the fact that if you have some weird order that you want, you know, less this, more that, you know, substitute this, you're the one who's going to make it accurate or not. You're not relying on the poorly paid cast member behind the counter to make sure that everything is done right when they have 1,000 people that they're trying to help. One thing that I thought was a great deal was when I was in Disney World, we paid $160, I believe it was, for the whole week we were there to get unlimited photo pass for that week. This is a much better deal, because if we were to do the same pricing at Disneyland like we did in Disney World, if it was priced the same, we were there for seven days. It would have been $80 for one of us to have all the things on for our account. So I thought that's a pretty good deal. And $75 one time for annual pass holders, I think that's also a deal.
That's a bargain, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but again, you know, I think we talked about this either last episode or the first episode when we were talking about annual passes. You know, $75 sounds like a great deal now, but I also came from a time when I had a premium annual pass for $229.
Well, but if you think of it, it's $75. If it's $10 per ticket per day, if you use it 8 days out of the year, you've already saved yourself money.
That's true. But the other thing that I think is unfortunate, where the $10 really adds up, is you think, oh, $10 isn't bad. Well, if you're a family of four, that's $40
per day. Yeah.
Because you're going to want to use the fast pass aspect of it, not necessarily the photo pass aspect of it. So we'll have to see. I know that Disney said that this is a introductory price, so I don't know if they're going to look at the popularity and raise the price or lower the price. I have a feeling that Disney is not going to include this.
No.
I think the price is going to go up.
Well, if you include it, then I guess what's the point of the fast pass then? Because everybody'd have a fast pass.
Right, but they have fast pass systems now you don't pay for. You just have to physically go to the attraction and pull out a paper ticket.
Yeah, but you still have to wait in a line. Whereas this, you don't have to wait in
the
line.
The only other thing that I really, really hope this does not turn into is, like I said, last June when we went to Disney World, we were in line. We did not have a fast pass. We were waiting in line for, well, a couple different attractions, but the one that I remember the most is we were waiting in line for Soarin', and we talked to the cast member, and they said that they let in 4 fast pass people, guests, for every 1 standby guest. So that's how, because FastPass Plus is such a big deal in Disney World. So I'm hoping that at Disneyland it doesn't turn into this, because I'm sure if any of you have been there anytime recently, the walkways are already packed enough as it is. So let's let Disney do what they do best. Keep people in lines that are themed really well and that you kind of get you ready for the attraction. Personally, I love FastPass when it works in my favor, but generally I think it's probably been a bad thing for the park. What do you think?
I'm mixed on it too. I like being able to just get in line and get on the ride and keep on with my day, especially because when I go to the parks, usually I don't have too much time. So I want to do as much as I possibly can in a shorter amount of time. So I try to do it, like I said, as much as I can. But, you know, I do really enjoy the ride queues. I do like all of the little details, the hidden Mickeys. Just like you said, it kind of gets you into the mindset, into the spirit of the ride that you're about to go into, kind of immerses you into that world before stepping on the ride vehicle.
Yeah, I think there's some attractions that don't make a difference with this. For instance, all the dark rides, I don't think really have a big queue. I don't think they were built for that.
No.
But one thing that I think, one attraction in particular that I think has been ruined by FastPass is Indiana Jones Adventure, because that queue is probably one of the best queues that Disney,
so interactive.
Yeah, well, and with maybe the exception of Pandora, because I have not been there yet, the queue really puts you into that world. So by the time you get on the troop transport, you're like, yeah, I'm in a temple and Indiana Jones is here. And now, since they hold all the queue outside because that's the only place that they can bring in fast pass and standby, you're just walking quickly through. So, like, what's the point?
Right. You're not getting all that.
And I don't like that. I would rather have an interactive queue. Plus, like you said, it's nice to be able to, like, you know, if you're on limited time or whatever, but if everybody was standby, I think the standby wait times would be lower because you're not accommodating all those fast pass people.
That's
so I think people would be spread out more. I think a lot of attractions would have more even lines. You wouldn't have such long lines at attractions where, you know, fast passes are.
Well, I think that's kind of part of the fun of the park too, is going and, say, you know, maybe walking past thinking that you want to go on Pirates of the Caribbean, but, oh man, it's okay, it's a 45 minute wait time, let's just keep going. And, oh well, Haunted Mansion, it's 15 minutes, let's do that instead. I think that's, I don't know, I kind of like the spontaneity of just kind of jumping around and looking at the lines and then going that way instead of having my fast pass and be like, oh, well, we got to go all the way back over to Tomorrowland because we have a fast pass for Space Mountain, even though I'm having fun over here in, you know, by Critter Country or wherever.
Right. And I think that happens a lot because, you know, if you see, I mean, with this mobile stuff, I think it's going to be different because, you know, you can do it from the comfort of your home and your comfort of your smartphone. I mean, I wish Disneyland was my home, but for $10 per ticket per day, you don't have to walk across the park, which is nice. But then when that fast pass time comes up, you got to walk across the park.
You got to drop what you're doing.
Yeah. So I don't know. I kind of like the idea, you know, when I used to go and when I still go, I go into Adventureland. I hit up, you know, Indiana Jones is my first and last attraction every time I go. Usually I'll come out, I'll be like, let's hit up Jungle Cruise, let's hit up the Treehouse, let's hit up Pirates of the Caribbean, let's hit up Haunted Mansion. I kind of just try to hit up everything as I go around. Oh, look, let's hit up Big Thunder Mountain. I don't like the fact where I'd have to come in and be like, oh, let me rush over to Space Mountain and get a fast pass, and then I can go over and start to enjoy my day. Like, I just don't like the aspect of having to spend that much time on it. I know this phone app is supposed to help with that. that. I just think that, I think especially with Disneyland, with the limited walkway space and stuff, that really FastPass hinders the park more than it helps the park. Talking about another area that hinders and helps the park, another topic that we discussed, that we might want to talk about, is Tomorrowland. Now, Tomorrowland is a very heated discussion with everybody that's a Disneyland fan. I think, Teresa, you could probably agree looking on some forums earlier.
Yes, it's just, I think everybody can agree it's long overdue for a facelift at the very least. I mean, what's up with Autopia? I feel like that's a very dated ride. I mean, maybe, I don't know if you need to do away with it altogether, but I'm surprised that they haven't at least converted maybe to electric cars, or just at least cleaned up the track and made it look nicer. I mean, the queue area for that's really kind of boring and you're just kind of frying out in the sun. I'm surprised as many people go on it as they do, but I suppose it's probably still exciting for little kids who don't get to drive cars. And it's,
well, you know, for me, the entire experience of Autopia is just not a good one. Like you said, the queue, not really covered. It's hot. It's a concrete mess. They did repaint it recently when Honda took over the sponsorship of the attraction. So it's a little bit better. The cars got like repainted, but it's still a gas car. It's still loud.
And
they smell. The you know, I took James. James had never been to Disneyland. We rode on Autopia and we got done. He was in a separate car from me and he gets off and goes, "That was so long and boring. What is the point of this?" Because they had combined originally, I don't know if you know this, originally the area that is the Autopia now was actually two different Autopias. There was the Fantasyland Autopia and there was the Tomorrowland Autopia. And when they renovated and put them together, they extended it, which is why at Disneyland, it's a very long attraction. If you gun it, going a whole like five miles an hour, it'll take you quite a while to get through the whole area. There are some areas that I like of the track. I like the area where it looks like you're going off-roading, where it looks like you go off, like you could fly into the walkway there by the Matterhorn is kind of cool. They've added the Osmo robot with the Honda sponsorship. Mm-hmm. They've kind of added some of that around there, which is kind of interesting. But it's just a huge, you know, if you look at it on a like a Google Maps view, the Autopia just takes up a huge portion of the park. If you were to take all of the new Star Wars Galaxy's Edge section, you could put all of that in where the Autopia is.
Wow.
Obviously, it would be a slightly different layout. The other thing that people talk about all the time that is why they can't do this is, you know, the monorail loops in and out of there. But I don't think it would be that hard to reconfigure that in such a way that would make sense.
Right.
And get rid of the old people mover track, even though I still want the people mover to come back. It's never going to come back. They need to get rid of that.
Yeah, if they're not going to do it, then you just need to move on.
Yeah.
Take it down.
Yep.
Do something different. Back with Autopia, now, I might be remembering this incorrectly, but my first visit, I remember you could go and they would give you, they'd take your picture and you'd get a little Autopia driver's license card thing.
They might have done it.
They did. I mean, this is going back to 2006.
I think they have a photo booth there that you can do that and pay for it. And I know just recently I watched a video of somebody who went to the Tomorrowland Speedway, is what it's called in Magic Kingdom and Disney World. And they added that again. And it's, I believe it's $5 or $6. And it's actually plastic, like you would get like a driver's license. And they like take, so they do like a set of three pictures that you take like a photo booth. You pick the one you like, and then it'll put like that day's date, Tomorrowland Speedway or whatever in your picture. And it's, you know, for $5 or $6, it's actually a pretty well put together souvenir, which, you know, I think Disneyland could do. I know a couple times ago when I was there, they had just like the little paper Autopia license. And I'm like, everybody's looks the same. I don't know why this is a
See, I think
thing.
This was like cardboard, but it actually had your photo on it.
Yeah, I don't remember. There could have been something like that. I don't know. I honestly, Autopia is one of those attractions that I try every time I go to the park to hit up every attraction if I can. Autopia is usually towards the bottom of my list. That and Gadget's Go Coaster in Toontown.
Oh, yeah.
You know, stuff like that. You know, if you're going down the map list, you know, things like the Main Street Cinema, you know, is low on my list.
Sure.
You know. Yeah. But with Tomorrowland, getting back to the rest of the whole section there. So, you know, the People Mover we talked about, the People Mover is not coming back. I don't know if anybody listening understands why it won't come back. I believe they talked to Imagineer Tony Baxter, who's responsible for Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, among other things, but that's what his kind of claim to fame was. he said that with the new codes, they would have to put evacuation staircases every like few feet down the track. Oh. So it really would take up so much space in the land.
Well, that would take away your experience of the ride, right, too.
Yeah, so really they should have never turned them into rocket rods. They should have left it the People Mover. They could have changed it out to be what Magic Kingdom has, which is like an electric thing. It's not all tires and stuff. It's a magnetic electric kind of platform that goes around and it does different speeds and everything. It's pretty cool. I missed it just because, you know, it was a great attraction to get on, and you spend, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it was going all around Tomorrowland, and you know, people, you get tired of walking around all day, like, just to get to be on something, and you kind of get to see you know, we talked about earlier about figuring out what attraction we want to go on next. If you're on the People Mover back in the day, you know, you'd go down the thing, you'd go through the Circle Vision Theater, I guess that was the end, so you'd go through Star Tours first, and you'd kind of see Star Tours, and you'd see inside the Starcade, and you'd go through Space Mountain, and you'd see kind of that and some of the line and stuff for that. You'd come out and you'd go behind, you'd go in the Tron speed tunnel, which is what was behind the America Sings building there. Then you'd come out and you'd go over the subs, you'd go over the Autopia, you'd kind of sort of a little bit go back towards the Matterhorn. You'd come back along the monorail station, and then you'd end up back inside of the Circle Vision 360 theater, and kind of, you can see kind of the theater and stuff in there, which was really cool. And then you'd come back out and you'd be by the rocket jets. You got a whole overview of the whole land. And one of the things I think Tomorrowland in general is missing is that kinetic feel. Back when the last good remodel at the end of the 60s was, everything was moving. You had the monorail moving. You had the subs moving. You had the Matterhorn moving. You had Space... Well, you didn't have Space Mountain then, but you had Mission to Mars. Now you have Star Tours. You know, there was a whole thing when you looked inside of the land from Main Street. You saw the Astro... It was the rocket jets that were on top of the People Mover platform. You saw all the People Mover moving. And because the People Mover and the monorail was so... and all the Autopias all in that area, it was just all this movement, and it felt like there was stuff going on. And I don't know about you, but you go into Tomorrowland now, and it's a mass of people, and there's an abandoned track over your head that's taking up space that help with the mass of people. And you don't really see much moving. Like, the monorail comes in every once in a while, and then, like, because of the way they've done the Autopia, you don't really see the Autopia.
No.
So... you know, that's something I think they need to change. And the other thing is, you know, they've tried to shoehorn stuff into that America Sings building. It's, you know, it was Interventions for a while. Now it's the Star Wars galaxy thing, whatever, the Star Wars whatever with Star Wars stuff in there. And, you know, it's just like they need to just get rid of that building. They need to get rid of the Autopia. They need to reconfigure the monorail however they need to. They need to take down the People Mover tracks. They might even need to get rid of the Magic Eye Theater, which is where they're doing the Path of the Jedi video here. And before that, it was Captain EO's Return. And then before that, it was Honey, I Shrunk the Audience. They really don't have anything in there. And I don't know about you, but have you seen any of these like videos where you go in, like, over in California Adventure, there's a Bug's Land or a Bug's Life, and you go in and it's like the theater with the 3D glasses.
Yeah, yep.
How many times do you ever want to see that?
Well, I've never seen it, and I guess I've never really felt the need to once.
Did you ever see Muppet Vision 3D?
Yes, once.
Exactly. So those type
Captain
of
attractions... Captain EO, once.
Yeah, those type of attractions are good for once, and then you've seen them, and you don't need to see them again. It's not like you're getting some wild ride out of it. So I think they need to take care of that. I've heard recently there's been reports of how terrible the food is at Red Rocket's Pizza Port. Their quality's been going down. So I think they need to kind of do something with that whole area. Keep Star Tours because it's popular.
You know, I'm wondering if they aren't going to be redoing the area just because we're going to have a Star Wars themed area and land. Are they going to continue to keep Star Wars themed rides, themed stores? Just, are they going to keep any of the Star Wars things in Tomorrowland, or is that all going to move out and go into the, you know, the, what is it? Galaxy's Edge. I don't know. I can't keep saying that, but, you know, is that maybe why we have these signs that are popping up saying no droids? Are they saying that that is that foreshadowing that this is going to get moved and maybe they're going to do something different? Because, well, I mean, if you took Star Tours out, the only reason I go over there is Space Mountain and Star Tours.
Right. Yeah.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah. But you got to think about Disney, though. I mean, we've talked about it a little bit already, where taking out Star Tours, which already eats up some people, it's still a fairly popular ride.
Oh, yeah.
They're not going to do that, even just to like move it. Because there's been talk online of like, are they going to move? Even in Hollywood Studios in Florida, where they're also building Star Wars Land, Galaxy's Edge, kind of like right there. They've talked about, you know, hey, could you move the attraction to Star Wars Land? Because it would be a better fit. It is Star Wars in Star Wars Land. They're not going to spend the money to take a 1985, 1986 attraction and move it. It's just not going to happen. That attraction would just go away. And the fact that it's kind of like what we talked about, where it's a screen and they can reprogram the simulator so easily, I don't think they're going to do it because they can continuously refresh it for a marginal amount of money. So I don't think it necessarily that it fits with Tomorrowland once Galaxy's Edge opens, but I don't think it's going anywhere.
Sure.
You know, Buzz Lightyear, I think, still commands and eats up enough people. It's very, you know, easy and inexpensive to maintain. It has the Omnimover system like the Haunted Mansion, so it's constantly just eating people up, which I think is needed for Disneyland in general. But things like the subs, as much as I love the subs and was glad that the subs came back, the subs should probably go away. It's not exactly, you know, it doesn't eat up a lot of people, which Disneyland needs. The Autopia eats up an okay amount of people, but it's, if you've ever seen how many cast members they have running that attraction, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because they have people like all down the load area. Then they have people at the top, you know, by the stairs and stuff. Then they have people all out along the attraction. And one thing that sucks about that attraction, I'll be honest, is first of all, it doesn't go very fast, which is fine. But you can't steer that. Like, I try to steer and you're just bang, 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 going back and forth. So the last few times I've gone on it, I've literally pulled the wheel all the way to one side and just rode the rail. Because otherwise, you're getting slammed around.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous.
You know, it is, you know, I don't know if maybe if we were, you know, like four-year-old children, if we'd find it very interesting. It'd be interesting to know, like, a child's perspective of that ride, because maybe that is something that's really fun and really exciting for kids, whereas we don't really get it. Well,
if anybody's listening that has kids that love Autopia,
yeah, please give us your feedback from a child's point of view, because we would love to know. Because I was, when you were talking about the submarines, I have a coworker that just went, took her children for the first time, and her youngest, who is in kindergarten now, just loved the submarines because he loves Finding Nemo and he thought it was the coolest thing and was just totally mind blown and thought that they actually, you know, dove down in the submarine and was,
well,
you
the
know,
technology is
it is, it's awesome. But so he totally ate it up. He thought it was great. So whereas us as adults were kind of like, oh, okay, yep, it's really cool, like the stuff that they did is really awesome, but, you know, is it something that you need to go on each time you're there?
Yeah, I mean, if they could figure out a way to increase capacity or something with that attraction, I think it'd be worth keeping around. But
how many subs are there? Five, six?
I think there's maybe five or six. Let me just look it up here.
That is a downfall, because I know last time that I was on that ride, you know, did wait to go on that ride, that line does not seem like it moves.
Yeah, it doesn't. It does not feel that way, because again, it's low capacity. The it's an almost 14-minute ride, and it holds 40 people per vehicle. So I believe that there's like, I'm trying to find it here.
And I guess I've seen it where some of the subs were out of commission and kind of parked off to the side too. So
yeah, I know that I was reading a little bit about the Disney World version of the same ride system that was 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And they were saying that they had problems with, because they go under the waterfall and whatnot, that the subs just start leaking and stuff. And then, you know, and they deteriorate because they're not made maybe as well as they should be. I believe the ones at Disneyland, I believe, are made a little bit better because of the fact that they've been around forever and they're made, you know, they've lasted for longer and it was built better. I don't know. I'm looking here and it looks like since 2007, there are 8 submarines.
Okay.
But, you know, If all 8 subs are working, that's 320 guests. That's not very many. So I think their hourly capacity is very, very low. Again, it takes a lot of people to operate it because you have a cast member in each sub, mm-hmm. and then you have at least one or two cast members loading people each sub, because I think there's one at each end, because yep. I think you load yep. from either end. And then you've got the whole issue that they've tried to deal with the viewing experience for people that have a handicap and can't get out of a chair or whatnot. Or if you're just claustrophobic, because it is very claustrophobic.
It's very tight in there.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think that that area of Disneyland, because land is so valuable at Disneyland, I think that they should recoup those. I just, I think if it was, which reminds me, since we were talking about the Autopia, somebody posted online that they thought Autopia should go over to Cars Land. You could put a mini Autopia. Oh, and then
you could theme each car as one of the characters from the movies.
Theming-wise, it fits better, because cars aren't the future anymore if you're going to do Tomorrowland. But you could put it over in Cars Land, and
You could drive Lightning McQueen. Yeah. You could drive Mater. That'd be cool.
So yeah, I think they're even from a theming standpoint, so much better. I don't know. They should do it.
Yeah, but like we said, with theming, they're not going to move Star Tours, even though the theming would make more sense. So it's hard to say. Yeah,
I suppose.
If we were in charge of Disneyland, and if it was our perfect world, we know which rides we'd put where.
That is something maybe that we should write down as a discussion topic for the future, because I think we could have a lively discussion on things that we would change about Disneyland. I can think of a lot of things that I think could be run differently than our. So, well, we had another topic on the list about our thoughts on the Fantasmic changes, but we've already talked quite a long time today, so we're going to end our conversation there, Teresa. I think it was a very good conversation. I think hopefully people have some feedback, and they can send us an email or contact us on social media and let us know what their opinions of these things are. Give us some ideas. If you write in and have some good opinions, we will read your email on the show. And your voice will be heard to all of our listeners. Before we wrap up this week, we'd like to ask for your help in setting milestones or perks for being a patron over at Patreon. If you have any ideas or things you'd like from us for supporting the show, other than making the show each week, please let us know by sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
That is all we have for you this week. We are entirely supported by the listeners and not advertisements. If you find value in the news, information, and discussion that we bring to you each week, please consider supporting us with just a dollar, which is about 25 cents per episode, by going to our website at disneylandweekly.com/support to find out how.
You can help the podcast by leaving a review on iTunes, as that really helps get our podcast out there. If you want to keep up with the podcast, you can follow us on Facebook by searching for Disneyland Weekly, on Twitter at DL Weekly, or sending us an email at feedback@disneylandweekly.com.
We will be back next week with more Disneyland news and information.
So until then, go out and enjoy the parks.
Ladies and gentlemen, Disneyland has now ended its normal operating day. We hope you've enjoyed your visit to the Magic Kingdom and that you'll be back with us again soon.
No matter what you're a fan of, Texas has the trip for you. There's the trip to Texas and the trip. Or maybe you're the kind of fan who'd prefer a trip to Texas or a trip. Either way, go to traveltexas.com/getyourown for the only trip to Texas that matters. Yours.